Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Many of you listened to Sam Pittman live on Wednesday night. Some of you went down to the Catfish Hole in Northwest Arkansas, and many of you listened on these radio stations and on hitthatline.com because you're excited about this season. You're excited about this new head football coach, this head hog, the pit boss, as he's been coined and actually confirmed on this radio show that he enjoys that nickname amongst the others. So it's very cool to see the kind of camaraderie forming right now with the Arkansas fan base based on where you've been with a lack of football team these last couple years. So from a non-football standpoint, I know you could talk about his recruiting, how he seems to relate to players and all that. What do you really enjoy about Sam Pittman? This was a quote from him last night. He spoke to the media. I passed out like a log last night. I pounded 24 from Buffalo Wild Wings. It was out like a light.
Wings.
So, yeah, I was done last night. So I did not stay up and watch
this. It was a late one last night.
Yeah, they
practiced under the lights.
And I like when Kyle Parkinson sent out that email and it was like 9:15, I was like, not going to make it. Just not going to make it. Sorry. So, but this is one of the quotes and probably the biggest quote of the press conference last night via Zoom, and we'll start it out this morning.
You hear about dream jobs. Well, it's the truth. I mean, this is the best job in the country. I know I'm the head coach here, and that's easy to say and all that, but I really mean it. And I think we've surrounded ourselves with guys that think that the same thing I do. It means everything, and you know, it means everything for the state of Arkansas, and we want to do so well for the people. You know, this isn't about me and this, that, and another. We want to do well for the state of Arkansas so they can have something to be proud of and something they can look forward to each Saturday. And let's go watch the Hogs like my uncle did back in the 60s, you know, and it means a lot. And hopefully we'll put a product out there that can make the people proud of us, and that's what we want.
And I think that's been the consistent response to why you enjoy Sam Pittman so much is because he wants to be here. He is infatuated with the Arkansas football program and this state. And yes, he's not from Arkansas, but I want to remind everyone, Frank Broyles was from Georgia. Eddie Sutton grew up in Kansas. Dave Van Horn's from Nebraska. Nolan Richardson's from Texas. John McDonald was from Ireland. Ireland.
Yeah, but he was a shop teacher at Greenland.
Yeah. So I just want to remind everyone that you don't have to just be an Arkansan. And to go back to Chad Morris was a Texan. Now, you would have completely bought in with Chad Morris if he had won football games on top of just recruiting, but he only did one. He just recruited and they didn't win football games. But it's important that you, again, become and ingratiate yourself with the fan base. And that was what Sam Pittman has done so far since he's been here. This is the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. 877-377-6963. The number to call or text in. We are always streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you have a smart speaker, just say play ESPN Arkansas. We are also on the TuneIn app as well. Make sure you're following all our social media accounts at HitThatLineAR on Twitter, at HitThatLine Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And make sure you're subscribed not only to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush podcast on wherever you listen to podcasts, but our YouTube page. You can get all our interviews, information, practice reports, all that stuff that Andy puts up there. Non-football related, favorite quality in Sam Pittman.
Oh, I think just how genuine he is. I mean, he kind of goes through it. Hey, it's easy to say you're the head football coach at Arkansas, but he continues to go through how much it means to him. I think he's just a genuine person. I think when he says things, he means it. I haven't gotten to spend a tremendous amount of time around him and figure out how he has. We probably spent more time around him when he was the O-line coach here years ago with Bielema. So I think it's just the way he carries himself. He's charismatic, but he's not over the top. It's not that loud, charismatic, in your face. I'm just going to yell and talk louder so you hear me. You hear him because, hey, I want to hear what he has to say because he, you know, I think you generally feel like he means what he says. Now, you know, we say a lot of good qualities about a lot of new coaches, and then in the end, when they don't win, you have a different feeling. But I think we all will feel at the end, Sam's a good person. He's a good person, and that's what I think we all like.
It's the honeymoon period.
Well, I mean, you always have hope. I mean, right? I mean, even with Chad Morris, we had hope that, hey, this is going to be the situation that turns it around here.
Some marriages don't start off on the right foot because the honeymoon is a disaster. I would say the honeymoon so far under Sam Pittman, based on the recruiting, based on what he's seemingly his players have bought in, based on that, it's gone relatively well. But as we know, for every one of you listening that's either married or been married before, the honeymoon doesn't last forever. Football is kicking off in 15 days, y'all. And when the Georgia Bulldogs come to town and you get beat, which is going to happen depending on how much it is, honeymoon's going to, bye-bye. You got to start coaching now. Like, it's all fun and games until they hit on the football field.
Because you lose to Georgia? I mean, does anyone expect you to beat
the
Georgia?
The honeymoon period is over. Yeah,
I think you're off on that. I don't think fans are going to...
Okay, when is the honeymoon period over?
I don't... This year is so weird, Ty. I don't even know how to equate what fans' true expectations really are in this season with so many abnormalities. So many... I mean, 10 games, all SEC, COVID, all... We don't even know what's going to happen the rest of the way. I don't have an answer to you, but I can tell you this. When you lose to Georgia and you're going to lose to Georgia, that doesn't mean people are ratcheting up. By God, he better win next week or we're on the hot seat.
Did I say that?
Well, I mean, when you implied the honeymoon is over.
The honeymoon's over. I mean, that's just period end of story. Football games have started. The honeymoon, there is going to be...
I guess we define honeymoon differently.
Well, here's why. Because there's no negative, unless you just had a terrible... There's typically no negatives that happen on the honeymoon. What's negative that's happened with the football program so far outside of COVID?
Oh, outside of COVID, I mean, you haven't played anything yet. I mean, but...
There lies my point. It's the honeymoon. Like,
well, no, because you're not considering the fact that, okay, on this particular honeymoon, your flight got canceled. They wouldn't accept your passport. You didn't clear customs. Basically, nothing has went right to this point trying to get to your destination. Everything has went wrong on this honeymoon to this point.
From an art... That's...
Everything.
But that's everywhere across the country. I'm talking about from an Arkansas football.
I only care about what Arkansas has going on. I understand it's an even playing field, but from an Arkansas, I mean, this is what you're dealing with. Everything you had put in, everything you expected to be there schedule-wise and availability to improve your program-wise has not been there. No spring practice. The offseason's been different. Your fall camp's even been different, where you didn't have a normal August with the practice schedule you normally would have there.
Well, let's put it this way. Your wife, who in this case is the fans, understands that because COVID going on. And again, like I'm saying, that is applicable to every single college football program across the country. I'm talking about if Arkansas had a terrible recruiting class. I'm talking about if Sam Pittman pulled a Mike Norvell, a Mike Leach, or did something stupid in the offseason. From an Arkansas football standpoint, not COVID related, the honeymoon has gone good. But the honeymoon is, and again, that doesn't mean there's not a grace period. That doesn't mean that Sam Pittman, it's understandable if he doesn't have any good year in year one. I'm telling you, from a honeymoon, no critical, you're not hearing any fans criticizing when they call in this program. That is over once football begins. There will be, and that doesn't mean it's just going to be all over the place. But it's over once the football season starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
John Daly. One of the biggest Arkansas Razorback fans out there. This was reported from golf.com. He has been diagnosed with bladder cancer. Here's what he had to say about that. It doesn't look like that it may go away. We will just see what happens. Maybe there is a miracle. So unfortunately, that's probably the biggest quickie headline we have, and it's not a good one when it comes to one of your most beloved Arkansans.
Yeah, and I'm not real familiar with bladder cancer. I mean, we've heard of it before, but He said they went in and they've removed the cancer, but the doctors have told him it likely will come back and grow back because I guess that's the nature of that type of cancer. So it's something that, as I was reading the articles, he's going to have to closely monitor every few months. Not, you know, this is something the doctor's going to have to get a look at on a frequent basis. So hope John does well. He said he's going to have to cut back on them Diet Cokes and he's going to try to stop smoking. So that he pounds those Diet Cokes, and that's probably something he's going to have to learn to stay away from.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. So that was really unfortunate.
Yeah, 54 years old, and you know, you get to a certain point in life, and you're like, you know, changing habits on things, certain things, just hard to do. So, but yeah. Hey, when the doctor looks you in the eye and tells you what the consequences are, sometimes you have to listen.
Sometimes you do. All right, speaking of golf, Michael O'Keefe, who's the actor that played Danny Noonan in Old Caddyshack. Everyone knows this. He is going to be at the practice round of the U.S. Open. He's going to carry a bag. He's going to be a caddy the practice round Monday and Tuesday. This is from the New York Post. They figured that out. I wonder what he looks like now, because he was obviously the young, impressionable caddy in Caddyshack, the guy that...
Yep, Danny Noonan.
Yeah.
Danny. Yeah, that was still one of my favorite all-time movies. But, yeah, the last time I saw Michael O'Keefe was on one of these. I think they did a 19-year anniversary, you know, kind of look back at that film and told the kind of the behind-the-scenes stories of it. But... you probably wouldn't recognize Danny Noonan today.
Jenkins just pulled up a picture. He looks a little different, I'd say, yeah. Tommy. So I like that. I like that picture of him in the old uniform.
You just need to put him in the Bushwood T-shirt and the Bushwood hat, and you'd quickly recognize him.
He kind of looks like, in that picture, he kind of looks like Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore.
Who is he carrying a bag for? I didn't read the article, but
I did not get to that. I probably should have, but I just thought that was funny. I knew our listeners as big Caddyshack fans. Really,
Caddyshack's like
it.
A prerequisite around
Caddy?
Here. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty good, but cool to
goodness,
see that.
Are you for goodness or for badness? So many one-liners in that movie. Yeah,
cool to see that. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs won last night, 34-20. Tommy, do you know what the over was on last night's game?
No, line was 10.5.
Take a guess. It was 34-20. Take a guess what the over was.
Well, I'm going to say 53 then, or 50.
If you were close.
I'll say they were right at it then.
It's 54. So I put some $20 on it last night. I pushed last night. Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes had him a good game. Travis Kelce had him a good game. But the guy that you should be excited about as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and remember, I want to remind everyone, we are the new home for the Kansas City Chiefs on ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3. The guy that you should be excited about is Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Ball at the Texan 27. They zone block it to the right. Cut back left, run. It goes to Edwards-Helaire. 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, CEH with TD1. What a night for the rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. A great cutback run.
The great voice of Mitch Holthus, and he was on display last night. You could tell how excited he was to be back in the broadcast booth. In Kansas City, they did the championship celebration prior to the Houston game last night. It was just good to have football back. Like I mentioned earlier, I fell asleep like a log. Me and my roommates, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I got 24 wins.
You hit a 24-pack, but it wasn't cold ones. It was hot ones.
Yeah, it was 24 of those. They're BOGO last night. So.
Yeah, here's the thing that stood out to me, and you know, Al Michaels pointed this out, and Chris Collinsworth.
No Collinsworth slide, though. Such a bummer.
Yeah,
social distancing.
We'll get to that.
Can't do it.
Okay, but the 17,000 that were there, how loud they were. Al was quick to point out, we're not pumping in any sound. And I'm sure they were cranking up the crowd mics maybe a little bit more than usual. But I thought for the smaller crowd, they made quite a bit of noise and at least created an atmosphere. Because not every game is going to have fans or that many fans in attendance. So I thought at least... for the emptiness of the stadium, it at least had some atmosphere of a football game.
So on that note, Kansas City, and I would say Seattle, the 12th man, are probably the two toughest home places to play. I know Kansas City broke a decibel record a few years back, and I think Seattle did the same thing. I mean, my brother has been to a Kansas City Chiefs football game, and he said it's like a college atmosphere. That always resonates with me when you have someone that goes to a professional game and they tell you It's like a college football game. Yeah. I'm like, oh, all right, then well, I need to go.
I've been to probably, I think, I can remember three. I may have been to four. I've been to a lot of Chiefs games, but three or four that I've been to. It starts in the parking lot because if you've been to the Truman Sports Complex, you got Kauffman Stadium at Arrowhead, just a stone's throw away, and you got parking lots all around it. So the tailgating scene is phenomenal there. And that's really what kind of sets that atmosphere to be a college-like atmosphere because it's easy on, easy off the interstate there, and it's easy to set up and do your tailgating. And that's really what defines the college atmosphere is you got to have great parking lot tailgating.
How much of a bummer is it watching the game last night as a Chicago Bears fan? There was a point in the game where Deshaun Watson scrambled out and ended up going on the Chiefs sidelines and then just sat down next to Patrick Mahomes.
That was pretty cool.
When Mitchell Trubisky is your quarterback for the Chicago Bears and you're sitting there watching the best quarterback in the NFL, which is Patrick Mahomes, and one of the best, which is Deshaun Watson, and you're just sitting there, it's like, how did we get stuck with Mitchell Trubisky? Now, you got another guy, Nick Foles, who they call him Big Blank Nick, that you hope can have a successful season this year. But you're still left wanting based on what you could have had with Watson and Mahomes if you're a Chicago Bears fan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody would love to have Mahomes or Watson, right? I mean, because honestly, there's what, four or five elite quarterbacks in the league, and then everybody else wishes they had one of those four or five. I mean, that's just the way it's kind of been, and it's kind of the way it's all going to be. If elite spread beyond more than a handful, then it wouldn't be elite. Mm-hmm. So everybody's always jealous of the other team's quarterback.
We always talk about how nothing gets done on Friday and Thursday on the first days of March Madness. I wonder what today's work output is going to look like across the country because there's a lot of people watching the kickoff of NFL football last night. I would say it's not going to be up to snuff what it typically Friday is.
I'll be interested to see. I think people are excited to have football back. I'll be interested to see when the ratings come out if this was off the charts good, you know, that the starvation we've had for football, and I know we've had some college games, we haven't had power, do we call it Power 5 now, or we just call it Power 3? We haven't had big-time college football yet, and we haven't had the NFL till last night, so we haven't had the big leagues of football back. The starvation for that, did that draw a massive crowd to the TV? I'll be interested to see.
And speaking of that, since we're talking about the Power 3 now, the question now remains, hey, what's happening with the Big Ten? We're going to get into Ryan Day's conversation that he had on social media. Friendly reminder, though, the NFL is playing. High school sports are playing across Big Ten states, but the Big Ten and the Pac-12 at the very moment are not playing college football in 2020. We're going to get in that conversation coming up. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Joe's Grill and Cantina.
Yeah, quick hitting headlines brought to you by Joe's Grill and Cantina. They want to welcome you back in starting today at Joe's Grill and Cantina. And want to remind you that, hey, with sports back and with the Hog games coming up, a reminder that this is the place that one of the favorite things that Ty and I get to do. We'll have to introduce Jenkins to this because he has not experienced this yet. Half-price apps and taps when you're watching Hog games. And they got TVs all around the restaurant.
I'll sleep on the ghost chili fries.
You got to get there a little early and make sure you get a good seat at the bar. But you can get a good front row seat. But they got TVs everywhere. The brisket nachos, the Mexican pizza is one of my favorite. The sampler platter. All the appetizers are half price when the Hogs are on the TV. So get by Joe's and make that part of your tailgating plan this year at Joe's Grill and Cantina, South 74th Street across from Harps.
We'll get into the Ryan Day conversation, really the Pac-12 and Big Ten conversation coming up here on the Morning Rush. We just got three calls right off the bat. We'll start with David, who is in South Arkansas, wants to talk about his Kansas City Chiefs and their win last night. David, you're on the Morning Rush.
Oh, God. Oh, I love that. I love that sound. I love that music. It was great to see the game last night. And did you hear how loud 16,000, 17,000 people could be at Arrowhead? I mean, I'm a season ticket holder. I get up there. Yes, tailgating is fantastic. I think you've got 20,000, 25,000 parking spots. around that area. It is just the best environment ever. But it was good to see football, and it was good football. I know people were worried about sloppy tackling, penalties, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I actually thought it was a well-played game. Of course, we did win, you know, scored 34 straight points. That certainly put my mood good a little bit. But, you know, it's just wonderful seeing football back. It really is. And I miss it. I do hope to go to the Raider game later on. What they did, can I explain for a minute how they did tickets for the season? What they did, they broke the season ticket holders up into pods where you have a chance at like one of three games. I could have gone, gotten tickets for last night. I think the Patriot game or the Raider game. I got tickets for the Raider game because that's, of course, the great hate game. Nobody wants to miss that game. So they divided it up so everybody hopefully gets a shot at least at a game. So at least they're trying something. I'm impressed with it. But, yay, football is back. It makes it very good. Go to work this morning, driving in, Chiefs win. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely, David.
Here's what I was thinking last night, guys, is if 16,000-17,000 could be that loud in Kansas City, 16,000-17,000 could be that loud in Fayetteville, right?
You would hope so.
I mean, I don't know how much the crowd was pumped up with maybe the gain on the mics was turned up, but there was atmosphere there. It wasn't playing in a cathedral with no atmosphere at all. You had at least something to maybe get the juice flowing a little bit. So if it can happen there, it gives you an idea of what's possible in Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium.
What did we say the other day? The crowd decibels could be to 75 or 70 decibels that they pump in. Remember I brought that up the other day?
I think it was 70.
Okay, it's 70.
70 is the most they can artificially crank in.
So I'm assuming that they probably got to that point. I think that comes from Kansas City itself.
Right.
So I was curious last night. Michaels kept saying like that, but does that mean like NBC's not doing that? Is Kansas City doing that?
Or maybe they weren't. Maybe neither one were doing it. I don't know.
To me, it sounded too loud. I mean, maybe I'm just underestimating the Chiefs fandom last night because to me it sounded too loud for 17,000 making that noise.
But keep in mind, some stadiums are going to allow fans and some aren't. So I don't know what the Chiefs did last night because in some venues there won't be fans.
I think it was 60. Basically what Arkansas.
Their capacity is 76,000.
Yeah.
Razorback Stadium, 76,000. They're basically on the same percentage of capacity in Kansas City or in Missouri that they are in Arkansas. So I'm just saying that the size of the crowd last night at that game will be similar to what they're going to allow. We'll see if that many show up at Arkansas.
Yeah, so season ticket holders, the ones that plan on attending this year, you got to bring it like the Chiefs fans did.
That's my point.
Night.
You can make a difference. The 17,000 that'll be at Arkansas can make a difference. I mean, we saw it last night. I don't know if they added the 70 decibels or not to the PA, but I'm just saying there was at least atmosphere. It wasn't dead. Wasn't like watching a practice.
No, I agree on that. 877-377-6963. Back to the phone lines, going to Kagan, who's in Piggott. Mohawks, Kagan, you're on the Morning Rush, man.
Good morning. Finally Friday. Well, I got two things I want to go over with you guys, see what you think. For one, I know y'all probably at least watched a little bit of each college game we've had so far in football.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mistakes, you know.
A lot of pre-snap penalties.
Exactly. And I made a comment on the live stream. They said to call in and tell them why I think. The reason I think Arkansas has a chance in the Georgia game is because Georgia don't know who's starting as their quarterback yet because I'm not sure.
Did we lose Kagan?
Oh.
Well, there he is.
Or lineman. I'm sure. I think that could be the what kind of equal the game out.
So we missed some of what you're saying. So are you saying because of the – we missed part of what you're saying. Are you saying because the uncertainty at quarterback, maybe the cadence, were you talking about cadence at the line would affect the lineman?
That, not only that, you know.
Okay.
Offside penalties, there's been a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean – line of scrimmage fouls and just some sloppy play, pre-snap penalties have been...
And ball security.
Yeah, because when you don't have contact, it's just hard to prepare for that. So I'm expecting Arkansas and Georgia to to have struggles with that, just like we saw. I watched a little bit during commercial breaks of the UAB and Miami game last night. And the comment
for De'Aaron King, then I believe my UAB would have beat Miami.
Yeah,
if they didn't have De'Aaron King, I mean, it would have been a total different ball game.
What was that? What was the outcome of that game last night? Miami won by
the
what?
The dude is a dynamic playmaker. And, you know, that's what it is about that last night. You know, if they didn't have De'Aaron King, then there's no way I don't think Miami would have won that one.
Yeah, they.
I mean, that's kind of like Arkansas and Georgia, you know. Miami's a good team. UAB's kind of like Arkansas, you know.
31-14 last night. Yep. Now, yeah, Kagan, you got to remember, so you bring up De'Aaron King. Kendall Briles was the offensive coordinator when he had like 51 or 52 total touchdowns at Houston. So there was a time so that Arkansas was trying to get him to come to the Hill, ended up choosing Miami.
Yeah, I wish he would have came, but if Felipe Franks can play half as good as De'Aaron King did last night, hey, we'll win some games this year, buddy. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Kendall Briles obviously knows what he's looking at because he recruited and developed De'Aaron King. So if he can do that with Felipe Franks, hey, buddy, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Appreciate the call this morning, Kagan. Yeah, with Kendall Briles' background, we bring up Seth Russell, Baylor quarterback, Bryce Petty, Baylor quarterback, number one scoring offense in all of college football that season. And then it's not Jeff Driscoll. It's something Driscoll that he coached at FAU. And then De'Aaron King at Houston. Blackman had better seasons when he was under Briles at Florida State. They weren't off the charts, but he had better seasons than he had in years past. So this guy knows quarterbacks. We always talk about Mike Leach knowing quarterbacks. We always talk about Dan Mullen knowing quarterbacks. Briles doesn't have a Tim Tebow in his back pocket. He doesn't have a Dak Prescott in his back pocket. But he does have some quarterbacks that have had high levels of success at the college level. And that's why you should be optimistic about this offense and about Felipe Franks in 2020.
And maybe there's one waiting in the wings that will fit that. It may or may not be Franks, but maybe a Malik Hornsby. Could be a KJ Jefferson. Or maybe they haven't recruited that guy yet. But I know a lot of people think Hornsby has potential to be next level good. And we've heard what Clay has said about KJ Jefferson and being described by some as generational type talent. So I'm excited to see what the future seasons maybe hold under his coaching.
Touchdown, Richard Smith.
Touchdown, Razorback Richard Smith with his second TD today.
A wide open lane to the end zone, Richard Smith.
Somebody got Smith all alone. 30-20-10. Razorbacks, 92 yards.
Jones wants to air deep.
He's got somebody.
Oh. At the 31, it's Smith.
He's in and out of the hands of the defender and caught by Richard Smith for an Arkansas touchdown.
This is former Razorback, wide receiver, and All-American track and field athlete Richard Smith, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
17 touchdowns, almost 2,000 yards for our next guest. Bringing him in now, it is Richard Smith. You heard him, not only Arkansas wide receiver, but All-American track and field athlete. Richard, thanks so much for making some time for us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Which one are you more proud of, the All-American in track or what you did in football?
It's a toss-up for me. I love both the sports. That was one of the main reasons why I came to Arkansas. Obviously, my senior year in high school, 98, the football team was doing very well that year. And the track program has always been a national known track program. So I really love track and I really love football.
Richard, one of the things that we were talking with Matt Jones months ago is that Arkansas needs to get back to having guys that are on the track and field program back within. Now, you're one of those players that not only Matt played with, but he had an example of. The lack of team speed has been pretty prevalent on the team the last couple of years. How important is it for Arkansas football to get back to having guys and picking up guys that are on the track and field program?
I think it's very important. I think coaches should recruit guys that do multiple sports in high school, per se. I know it's kind of hard, difficult to do both sports in college because it was very difficult for me. I felt like I was always in season, which I basically was, except for the summertime. But it would be great to see that happen again. Obviously, myself, Ahmad Carroll, and Eddie Jackson were three guys that were on the football team and on the track program. They were All-Americans as well.
You mentioned those guys. I know those guys had some speed as well, but Clay Henry wanted me to ask you during this interview. Richard, did you always feel like you were the fastest guy on the field?
Yep.
Easy answer, Tommy. Easy answer.
Yes, no hesitation.
No explanation
always,
needed.
I've always thought that I was the fastest. If I didn't think that, I've never not thought that. Even when I had, you know, on my team, I had Ahmad Carroll, a guy that was really, really fast, who was a sprinter on the track team. Even with that, we would always battle in practice. Me, him, Eddie, other guys, we always battle in practice with the weight room, the sprints and stuff, and track. But I've always thought I was the fastest. I've just always had that kind of confidence.
You know, you bring up getting players that have the skill and the ability to do both. I think some of it nowadays, or it has been, maybe there's a shift away from this mindset, but there's been such specialization at the high school level in sports where kids weren't allowed to play or didn't have the time to play, or the sport they were in, like basketball, was almost year-round. The specialization of high school sports, youth sports, has kind of killed off the idea of athletes being able to excel and achieve dreams in multiple sports.
Yeah, I really believe that. Obviously, once I got done playing with the Razorbacks in the NFL, I coached for about 6 years, and I saw a lot of that. I used to try to get my football guys to come out and run track for me because I was an offensive coordinator and I wanted the track coaches. And once they saw that track would help them with their flexibility and just getting faster, I had a lot of skill guys that actually love track. And with all this specialization, you never know, another sport can be better for you. Or you can get a scholarship in that other sport, even though you want to get a scholarship in football or basketball.
Yeah. We're going to get some questions about this season. I'll ask you one more about the differences between track and football. And we're talking with former Razorback Richard Smith. What did you have to do differently to prepare your body for the different times of the year? What did you do differently for football and track? Because, you know, some people think, oh, you just go out there and you start running and turn left. Well, I think there's probably a little more to it than that.
No, there's a lot more to it. For me, it was more about my body and my body weight. Obviously, I was fast. I was fast enough to, to play football and run track. For me, I would weigh about 185. To 180 in football season. In track, I would get down to 165 up to 170. So that's a big difference, and it was very tough, especially during football season, where you feel like I could eat whatever I want and still wouldn't gain enough weight. Like, the coaches wanted me to be 200 pounds for football season. I'd be able to eat whatever I want and still would be able to gain that weight. And then in track season, it would just be so hard to lose weight. And I know I would kind of, fire myself a little bit to get my weight down, because I was a sprinter jumper, and for jumpers, we needed to have our weight in a certain way so we could feel light to jump.
Richard Smith with us here on the Morning Rush. Richard, you mentioned coaching previously. I know you're at the University of Arkansas. Kind of explain to our audience what you're doing now.
Yeah, right now, I think for the last almost 8 years now, I've been back in Arkansas. I got a job with the University and Athletic Department working with athletes on their academics. So my official title is a learn specialist, which I work with the most high-at-risk student athletes, students that come to college a little bit underprepared to sports or football, basketball.
So, Richard, you mentioned working with the student athletes. I know this is a completely new world we're living in with COVID-19, and there's been a lot of just kind of disagreement on what should happen with college football this season and stuff. If you were still in a Razorback uniform, if you still had eligibility, how would you approach college football for Arkansas this season?
I think it's a twofold question. If I was a junior or senior, I think I would really be hard-pressed not to play, especially you're trying to put film on a tape for NFL scouts. I think at that point I would play. If you were a freshman, maybe sophomore, I still think it would be very, very hard not to play, because that's what you're wanting to come here to do. You came here to play football. You came here to do your sport, and that's what all these kids want to do. So I think it's a very hard question for anybody, but for me, I think I would want to play.
Richard Smith with us here on the Morning Rush. You've had a front row seat to kind of seeing the transition
with this program. Kind of a two-parter here. What do you think of the new offense and what Kendall Briles is installing at Arkansas? And how do you think you would fit inside a Kendall Briles offense and what we're going to see this year?
Well, first off, I think I've actually been able to go over and watch a couple of practices, and I think the offense is going to look really, really good. Obviously, they didn't have a spring to implement all the stuff they probably want to implement. They didn't have the spring to see what kind of talent they have. I do think we have talent. Obviously, I felt like with my skill set, I ran 4.3. I was a great route runner. I think I would get in well with this offense, and I would have loved to play in like a spread offense.
Yeah. When you look at Treylon Burks and you look at Knox and Woods, what give us your assessment of the wide receivers and what you see this year and what Arkansas has to send downfield?
Well, obviously, I was a wide receiver, and so when I go to practice or I'm around those guys, I gravitate to that. And Treylon Burks, I think Trey Knox and Mike Woods and some of those other guys, Devion Warren, they're going to take they should take a step forward this year. Treylon is a big wide receiver, big option for us. I think he's going to have a breakout year. He needs to get some touchdown. He needs to get some of those charges, which I think he will. And I think Mike Woods and Trey Knox will take that other step forward, and we're going to have three good wide receivers to play this year.
Talking with Richard Smith, former Arkansas wide receiver for former All-American track athlete here on the Morning Rush. Richard, we've had a number of different former Razorbacks on, and the question we always ask them every single time, hey, what do you think about the program in its current status? You ended your career with two back-to-back 9-win seasons. You went to the SEC championship as a junior. Just kind of your overall opinion on where the program is right now and how you think Sam Pittman can help get it back.
Well, obviously, the last 3 years hasn't been well for us. And I think right now, the morale around the kids, everybody's kind of excited. It's something new. They're energized. They actually feel like that they're going to take a step forward this year as a team. And that's the big thing for me as a former player. As a team, I just want to see them be competitive. And I think if they're competitive, we're going to win some games. It doesn't matter who we play. Obviously, you have the one or two schools, majority of Alabama, but you have those schools that you may not play with the whole game, but I think if we're competitive, we can play with anybody. And that's the mindset we had when I was in school here with Houston Nutt. He used to have us so amped up that we thought we could beat anybody, and we would go out there as that, you know, media and other people would say, a less talented team, and we would go out there and win games.
Or being down a certain amount of points, and I know the game that you've probably been asked about before has to be Miracle on Markham, LSU 2002. You guys down 14 points in the fourth quarter. Fred Talley has that long touchdown run. And then people forget, yes, everyone remembers DeCorey Birmingham catching that pass, cornering the end zone for Matt. Richard, people forget you're the one that caught the first ball, man. It wouldn't have happened if you hadn't beat your defender and gotten, I can't remember, what it was, 40, 50 yards downfield? What's going through your mind on that particular play?
Well, to be honest, it was one of those things where I'm supposed to run a go route, and we were going to hit maybe a 20-yard out. And I think the DB knew that we were going to run that 20-yard out, and he just stopped. And when he stopped, Matt was getting ready to throw that 20-yard out, and he just all of a sudden threw the ball to me. And I'm just looking at the ball, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, the ball is coming to me. And all I can think about is make sure you catch this football. Make sure you catch the football. And I mess with Matt about this a lot. If he would have threw the ball maybe 10 yards further, and I wouldn't have had to wait on the football, it would have been a one and done. It's kind of funny. We mess around with each other when we see each other. Obviously, I mess with DeCorey because I'm like, if you go back and look at the tape, I'm about 5 yards in front of DeCorey when he catches that ball in the back of the end zone. I'm at the front of the end zone, almost the front of the end zone. I'm like, dude, I could have went up and got there. I could have got there from him. I'm just going to visit with my teammates about that when I see them.
You mentioned some teammates, and you mentioned earlier Ahmad Carroll and Eddie Jackson. Do you spend any time around those guys? And if you're around Eddie Jackson, for those that don't know, he's got a kind of made a career in displaying his culinary skills. What's the best thing maybe he's cooked up for you?
Well, obviously, when we were in college, as we call him, E-Jag, but Eddie Jackson, he would always be like, hey, guys, let's go buy some chicken. You guys buy some chicken, I'll cook it for you. And so I actually do talk to him from time to time. He comes back to Fayetteville. We usually get to hang out. Obviously, there's some other teammates of mine, like Sparky Hamilton, Jim yep. Beasley, that I live around, and we hang out a lot more. But, yeah, Eddie comes back, he cooks. It was fun being in college with somebody like that because, obviously, I was a young college student-athlete. I didn't know much about cooking, so it was easy for me just to go to Walmart or Harps and just buy some stuff and take it over there and have them cook it for everybody,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Sparky. I get to see him on a regular basis. We officiate football together, and there is not a finer individual than Sparky Hamilton.
Yeah, and he was one of the guys that, you probably don't know, that got me into officiating. And so I do football and basketball, and Sparky was a big reason for that. Obviously, when I moved back to Arkansas, I told you guys I used to coach. And when I moved back to Arkansas, I was in that limbo. Do I want to coach or do I want to, you know, get on the other side? And I didn't feel like after doing it for 6 years that I wanted to go back and be, you know, a sixth and seventh grade coach and work my way back up. And so I just decided to do the associate part.
Yeah. Richard, before we let you go, man, you had a little stint with the Kansas City Chiefs. Big win for Patrick Mahomes and company last night. How happy were you to see the Chiefs pull out the W?
I'm very happy. The organization, I love the organization. They gave me an opportunity. Obviously, as you said, I was a free agent, undrafted free agent. They gave me an opportunity to come out there. People don't know this. I went up there on a tryout camp basis. I went up there. They gave me a number 38 as a wide receiver in that camp. And I ended up making a bunch of plays at camp because it was all rookies back then at the tryout camp with the guys that got drafted. And ended up making some plays, and then they offered me a contract, and then went to training camp. A couple guys got hurt, and me making the opening 53-man roster my rookie year. It was kind of mind-blowing.
That's awesome, man. Well, it was good to see them win last night, and cool story for the first time here on the Morning Rush. Richard Smith, former Arkansas Razorback wide receiver and All-American track and field athlete. Richard, appreciate your time this morning, and hopefully we'll get to see some of that Kendall Briles explosive offense that you're talking about in 2020.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it. Thank you, guys. Bob. My daddy served in the Army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard. Till the day that he died, he wanted my mother.
America's heart has been wounded, but her spirit shines as a beacon of freedom, a beacon of freedom that never has been nor ever will be extinguished.
That's for you, man, as we close out this morning.
I knew the voice as soon as you started playing it.
So that is from WWE's Vince McMahon. We played a lot of clips from this morning as we remember 9/11, 19 years ago, and we got a clip that we're going to play from George W. Bush coming up as he pitched out. We all remember this as well.
For tonight's ceremonial first pitch, please welcome the President of the United States.
Now, the backstory on this, y'all, is very interesting, and he had a conversation with Derek Jeter, which we're going to play here, the conversation that he had just with him, the President of the United States, and just kind of how what went into him pitching that pitch post 9/11 in Yankee Stadium that night. It's an incredible story, and definitely want to play it for you this morning as we get to it right now here on the Morning Rush. Just got to unmute it, Tommy.
I'll throw from the base of the mound. Jeter said, I wouldn't do that if I were you, Mr. President.
And I told him, you better throw from the mound, otherwise you're going to get booed. I said, this is Yankee Stadium.
I said, okay, I'll throw from the mound. And he's walking out, and he looks over his shoulder, and he says, don't bounce it. They'll boo you. And so the pressure all of a sudden, I mean, I'm sitting there kind of fairly relaxed and feeling fairly loose. And the great Derek Jeter, don't bounce it. They'll boo you. And all of a sudden the pressure mounted.
The President of the United States.
I'd never felt what I'd felt before when I walked out of that dugout. I felt the raw emotion of the Yankee fans.
USA!
The crowd just erupts in a chant of USA. There is nothing like it that I've ever experienced at a ball game. it was overwhelming. It was just overwhelming.
President Bush is standing out there like a brick wall. I'm not afraid of terrorists. I'm going to stand all out here. I'm going to give you a thumbs up, and I'm going to throw a strike.
I didn't vote for him, but at that point, my personal feelings about him as a politician is gone. I watched him, and he was my representative, and I had never felt that way before.
Very nice throw, Mr. President. Good stuff, good stuff.
At that moment, everybody there was there for baseball and to show the world that in spite of what can happen to us, we'll pull ourselves together, and what is our life and our way of life will continue.
United, we stand. We stand together in the face of this threat. We will play baseball in the midst of the beginnings of this war. No matter what the threat may be to us, the United States of America will stand strong and will never be intimidated.
So that's a great story told after the post 9/11, and then George W. Bush, just kind of what went into him pitching in Yankee Stadium last night. You heard from several different people, Derek Jeter, several authors and stuff. But the why I wanted to play that clip this morning, why I wanted to bring it up, is because 2020 has not gone the way we wanted. Coronavirus, there's been killings. Obviously, there's the racial tensions between black and white people. It's not at an all-time high. Don't let people make you believe that. It's just amplified 10 times by social media. It's not as bad as people want you to think it is, but it's still prevalent in today's society with ever going around. And what you heard from that one author, and I'm forgetting his name, is that he didn't vote for George W. And there's people that listen right now that didn't vote for Donald Trump. There's people right now that didn't vote for your state representative or your Senate representative or whoever the case may be. But somehow, some way, 19 years ago, the United States came together. And I would venture to say not a lot of people in Yankee Stadium voted for George W. Bush, but you heard the USA, the USA, the USA, because there's something about this country. There's something about this nation that you should be proud of no matter what happens. And it was a tough year. It's been a tough couple years for people that are still having to deal with the aftermath of that. There's people that still have family members that were lost from that particular day. Somehow, some way, we were able and still able to get through that. We have to find a way as a nation, as a sports talk radio show, to get through what's happening, particularly in sports here in 2020.
So my grandfather died September 6, 2001. His funeral was September 10th, 2001. 9/11 happened the next day. And I've often wondered, me and my brother were texting about this last night, that his name was John Wayne Carter, that we always wondered what Big John would have thought about what was going on, what Papaw would have thought about the world we live in today and really everything that's happened the last 19 years. World War II vet, served in Africa and in Italy and in World War II and different time he was raised in, and probably would recognize a lot of the country that is before us today. But I think the thing we've talked about here throughout the morning, remembering 19 years later, is we were all one, for a brief time at least, all one after such a tragic event.
Clay, we've shared many of our thoughts this morning. Kind of get one of your thoughts. You've got a few years on me, obviously. You've got a few years on Tommy. Just kind of what this day means to you, and just kind of how we can figure out 2020 as a whole.
Yeah, that I can go back to that. And first of all, President Bush is a baseball guy. I mean, he would be part owner of the Rangers, He wanted to do that, throw out the pitch, and represent the, the firefighters. He went out there with the hat, all that. The thing that stood out is that his security, the Secret Service, the people entrusted to protect him, told him that it was not a, they weren't sure that the place was locked down. It was not totally, sure that, there wouldn't be a shooter in the stands. And he wears the flak jacket and went out there, and he's like, nope, this is the right place and the right time for this. And as I said, I'm not a Yankees fan, but I thought that was just, really moving. And, you know, a great moment for him and our country.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Moment of healing is what it was. It was yeah. It was a moment that where we said, we're not going to stand here and take this. We're going to move forward.
We're
moving forward. Yeah. That's exactly what it symbolized. It was a symbol of, we're not done. In fact, as he said, standing on that pile of debris at Ground Zero, you know, the world hears you. I hear you. The world hears you. And the people that knock down these buildings are going to hear from us all. It was a symbol of,
might as well just play that again.
We're getting ready. We're getting ready.
We can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And I think it's important when we're talking about this. Yes, we're not dealing with the severity of what occurred in 2001, but again, 2020 has not been a kind year to many, if not all of us this year. But what was important about that night in Yankee Stadium, what was important about that year in particular, is regardless of skin color, political opinion, religious opinion and stuff, we have to remember that as a country, as the United States, that there, and not everyone thinks like you, not everyone looks like you, not everyone believes the same thing as you do, and it's a melting pot of sorts in this country. And if you want to go specific, inside the state of Arkansas, inside the many areas, the cities, the counties that we broadcast here in the United States, yes, there might be one predominant race or predominant religion and stuff, but there's still a combination of a bunch of different things. What I describe this sports radio show and an Arkansas game as is just one big Thanksgiving supper. Now, my family, my aunt and uncle forbode us from talking politics at the table, which is probably smart because there's a bunch of different opinions, and basically politics are forbidden on this show because we want to talk sports. We got a promo running right now. I don't care if you're left, I don't care if you're right, I don't care if you're down the middle. I just want to talk sports on this program. This day is kind of different because what happened in 2001 was not, it's not politically divisive. It happened to all of us as a country and as a nation, and to see where we are, because I brought this up earlier, following that, I went to New York for Thanksgiving with my dad and my brother, and we saw the craters that were left from the two towers.
I was there in 08, and those holes were still being completed. They weren't even ready to start building back then.
And I didn't even understand the gravity at the time, because you got to remember, I'm 7 years old, of what happened. I was in first grade. I was six when that occurred, and then I think when we went to New York when I was seven or eight, it was one of the two, and I didn't understand the severity of what happened. I have a better understanding of it now. I just think maybe it's not 100% correlatable. I don't know if that's a word. If it is, I just made it up. But there have been some things that have happened in 2020 that we need to come together. And we talk about, obviously, we always circle things back to sports. This football team the last couple of years has been an abject disaster. Awful. This is something you never want to have to experience again. And you have been imploring Sam Pittman and the guys in that locker room, the coaching staff, the athletic director, and Hunter Yurcheck to come together and fix things. But we can't seem in 2020 to come together and fix things as far as what's going on in our country right now. And it doesn't make sense to me if you're asking the fan, if you're asking the football team, the coaches, and the staff to do the exact same thing, why we can't as a nation do the same thing. And listen, it's tough right now with social media. Social media, and especially with news outlets, like to pick out the negatives because we know negatives sell more than positives, and social media is the exact same way. Negative stuff on social media is always going to be over-amplified to stuff than compared to just good stuff on social media. It's just how it is.
It's our downfall, I'm afraid.
So, but that's just what we're attracted to, unfortunately. Hopefully, though, we're turning the corner. College football's back. NFL is back. That will give some sense of togetherness as we approach the rest of 2020. Yep.
Clay, 2 weeks from tomorrow, to kind of end on more of a positive thought, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we'll get to watch the SEC kickoff football. We'll see a little bit this weekend of Power 3 football, if you will, but we're closing in. 2 weeks out, baby.
Yep, I think it hit home last night watching the Chiefs roll. You know, football is back. It's a lot of Patrick Mahomes, you know, which tells you, boy, you better have a quarterback. Let's see if Felipe Franks can be that guy for Arkansas.
be on the lookout, not only listening to our radio show, whether on terrestrial radio, whether on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. We are going to have some college football pick'em stuff coming up. We're going to have some college football, maybe a Survivor League coming up. I got to throw that together this
weekend.
Can we
give a toilet away like Ruskin and Zach? Urinal?
They have quite something.
I don't have a urinal. Away.
Ruskin's been texting me about that, so I need to figure that out this weekend as we toss it together. We'll start that once we get closer to SEC.
Maybe we'll get a sink or a shower, and we can give a whole bathroom
rip
package
it out.
Away.
Yeah.
So, they got the toilet, the urinal. We'll get the sink and the shower.
So I think that was a pretty fantastic idea. So the good old toilet bowl, as people like to call it, where you got to display it somehow, some way. I'm in a Survivor League like now, right now for the NFL. For those who don't know what that is, you pick one team per week to win. I'd cover the spread, but win. But you can't pick that team the rest of the season. Yep. It's really fun. It's really entertaining. I haven't decided who I'm picking this weekend for the NFL. We'll get all that together. We'll let you know on social media. We'll let you know on HitThatLine.com. We'll also let you know on the Morning Rush Halftime and Ruskin and Zach. Again, 19 years ago today, we had 9/11, one of the biggest tragedies in the United States history. We got through it, and we'll get through 2020 as well.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.